It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The National Advanced Driving Simulator at the University of Iowa has long helped scientists understand alcohol's influence on driving. But now that marijuana is legal in some states, another type of driving under the influence is being given more attention. The National Institute on Drug Abuse is pairing up with the National Advanced Driving Simulator here in Iowa to understand POTS effect on driving. Joining us to talk about that, Dr. Marilyn Hustis, Chief of Chemistry and Drug Metabolism at the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Dr. Hustis, welcome to our program. We're speaking to you, and you're in Baltimore.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Now, I understand that you've been conducting this experiment for 3 years. Take us through how the National Advanced Driving Simulator here in Iowa is working in this case.
Well, the program is a tremendous resource for the country, and it's been used to great success to study issues like alcohol, as you said, but also texting and the impairing effects of some pharmaceutical-type medications, but it had never been tested with an illicit drug before. So we knew that this resource would be the place that we best wanted to do it, and we're studying the effects of cannabis alone and with low-dose alcohol. So it's a very complex six-drive study. We designed it here, and we created with the engineers from NADS a wonderful drive or course that involves many of the aspects that we know cannabis can impair, such as executive function, making decisions, good decisions and implementing them, divided attention, critical tracking, many other areas that we can test very effectively in this one of the world's most advanced driving simulators.
So help us picture what happens at the National Advanced Driving Simulator in this case. How are the subjects tested?
So under very rigid conditions, they are exposed to either placebo or active cannabis, and also to either placebo or active alcohol, and the two, alcohol and cannabis, together. And then they get into this car that is in a large orb. So the car is a full car, and they have 360-degree scenery around them that we control. And the orb that they're in is actually within a building the size of an aircraft carrier, and they can move all 360 degrees. It's very realistic, so that, for instance, when you drive over a rural area and go onto a gravel road, you actually feel like you're driving over gravel. You hear the noise and you see it at the same time. So it's very realistic. So we have both an urban city portion of the drive, we have a highway portion of the drive, and then a rural area. And we are looking at more than 250 parameters, how often they search the perimeter, how well they can maintain speed, how they make decisions about pulling out into the highway or passing a car, how well they follow directions, when to turn. So it's a very complete, very complex study. We can actually have cameras on their eyes, and we can see how often they search for the periphery to see whether, for instance, pedestrians or other cars might be coming in, a child on a bike, or even a deer in the rural area. So we have many unexpected events, and the drive was specifically created to measure those areas that we know are specific to cannabis's effects.
Mm-hmm. And I know the results won't be out until October, but you mentioned the ways that cannabis can affect the brain and the things that you're testing here. Talk a little bit more about that in comparison to the way alcohol affects our brain, impairs it when we're driving.
So one of the first things is you tend to have tunnel vision. You lose some of your peripheral vision, and that can be very important in how quickly you recognize dangers in the periphery. One of the biggest areas is divided attention. So, for instance, driving is complex. You have to consider all the cars around you, pedestrians, the distance between you and the next car, what speed you should be going, following directions, looking at traffic lights. electrolytes. And we know divided attention is one of the major areas that cannabis affects. Also, lane weaving, so ability to stay within your lane, following directions. We actually had programmed in, you know, directions you should go to the Shell station and turn left, and many cannabis drivers, with all of the things going on, just miss completely making that turn. So following directions is another important area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking at multifaceted effects of cannabis.
I wonder if you can give us an example of the type of accident that might happen when someone is under the influence of pot.
I certainly can, and this is a true case. It was a teenager driving down the road with several friends in the car. They were smoking marijuana. He was aware that he was somewhat impaired and driving, he thought, very responsibly. He looks down the road, and he sees an elderly man crossing the street, and he takes in the information. He calculates in his brain how long he thinks it will take to get to that spot, and that he figures that the gentleman will be out of the way. But the old man drops his keys. He leans over. He's fumbling, trying to pick up the keys off of the ground. And the teenager, this is what we mean by divided attention and executive function. He takes in the information. He tries to determine, his rate of speed, whether he's going to hit them. He tries to determine, what should I do, slam on the brakes, swerve to the left. And before he can actually take the information in, process it, and, you know, enact something that would avoid the collision, he runs the old man over. And it's that type of divided attention, executive function that is most affected by marijuana.
Can you say at this point whether cannabis is more impairing to a driver or less impairing, or we don't know yet?
So there's a lot of other work that's been done, and in general, both from motor vehicle accidents as well as fatalities, there's a consensus now from several studies showing that having any measurable amount of delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, the active component in cannabis, increases the odds of your having an accident by about twofold, twice the probability, whereas with alcohol, it has more strong effects, and we know that in general, it changes with how high the alcohol level is, but it's generally, people would say, you increase your risk about 8 times, and that would increase with increasing concentrations. And what is very important, we know that together, alcohol and cannabis are very impairing. Some studies show that it's an additive, both the effects of cannabis and alcohol, and other studies show that it's more than additive, that the impairment that you would get with one or the other is actually greater than the sum of the two. So we will be looking at all of those effects in this study.
Dr. Huestis, we know we have roadside tests for testing alcohol if a driver is pulled over. Is there a way to screen for drugs other than alcohol?
Yes, there is, and it's very promising. It's already been in use in Australia since 2004 and currently in use in Europe, and that's on the roadside oral fluid or saliva testing. And we've conducted many controlled drug administration studies to provide the scientific background for oral fluid testing, including cannabis. And there are reliable devices now available, and many police forces in the United States are already testing them so that the next time you get pulled over by a policeman, they may do a breathalyzer and an oral fluid test.
Okay, very enlightening. We'll look forward to hearing about the results in October. Dr. Marilyn Huestis, Chief of Chemistry and Drug Metabolism at the National Institute on Drug Abuse, pairing up with the National Advanced Driving Simulator in Iowa City at the University of Iowa. Thank you very much, Dr. Huestis.
Thank you for having me.